Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Off the ball.
GAA.
A clear push up absolutely everyone. There were, I think there were a point or two up at the time, and they went on and won it because they weren't trying to be Limerick. They were trying to be themselves.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Live to Friday morning's Off the Ball Breakfast with Shane Hanna and myself. Delighted to still have you joined now in studio by former League of Ireland goalkeeper, our buddy Barry Murphy. How are you?
Barry,
how are things?
Some good games tonight in the Premier Division. So at 7:45 we have 3 games that start. Shells against Derry, we got Dundalk, Galway, and then Drogheda, Pats, and then 8 o'clock Shamrock Rovers against Bohemians. That's going to be live on News Talk with commentary from Jonathan Higgins and Vinnie Pert. Before we get into the games for League of Ireland, Barry, we had the tragic news yesterday of the passing of Alex Manninger. We talked about it briefly earlier in the show, and I think for certain sections even of our live YouTube audience that people have vivid memories of Manninger at the end of that 97-98 season when Arsenal won the Dublin. He was a pivotal part of it. I don't know, did he have any sort of bearing or influence on yourself at that point? Because I remember a little bit of him, you know?
Yeah, I would have been, obviously, a Man United fan, so I'd have been more looking at Conor Schmeichel at the time, but I remember how good he was in that season. Yeah. He was incredible, and some of the moves he got, went to Juve after it, then to Salzburg, and you look at, he was at Liverpool as well at 40 and that kind of
stuff. I know, it's 2016, yeah.
So, listen, he obviously had a massive influence on, and those people in those positions are characters, they're the people you want in your team, so he obviously had that as well, and Jurgen Klopp saw that, so
yeah.
Terribly sad news.
Shocking. I wonder how difficult that is to fulfil that role of stand-in goalkeeper for a lot of your career, because when you hear the news, the first thing that a lot of people thought of that remember Manninger was that 97-98 he got that run for himself, and I was wondering, was he tempted to make a move then at the end of that season to get first team football? But he stayed at Arsenal till 2002, so it's a very specific role, quite a lonely position, I'd say, you have to fill as a goalkeeper that wants to play but doesn't play but is still at a big club.
Yeah, it's kind of like, was it Steve Clarke up at Newcastle? He was the number 2 to Jay Gibbon.
Steve Harper.
Yeah.
He was the head off him too. When
the
Harper was paid, you couldn't tell who was who.
Same shape and everything, but he knew that role, and he probably could have got a move.
He went to Hull, didn't he, eventually?
Yeah, he could have moved somewhere else down the Premier League, but stayed with him. But listen, he was happy with it. But I just saw Gigi Buffon's tribute to him yesterday. It was incredible. He was like,
I didn't see that.
Just put a big post up on Instagram, and he's talking about how he used to take himself away to the woods, wanted to be with the family down by the river, just a very isolated type of character, and didn't buy into all the kind of thrills and all of being a footballer, just wanted to be with his family. So it was an emotional post from him, but obviously he had a big impact on him as well.
Yeah, he won that Serie A at Juventus, didn't he? Yeah. David Seaman as well, a lovely words from two said it was actually quite difficult, and he was worried about getting his place back after that run that Manninger had. And I remember there's a feeling that he got Player of the Month in the Premier League in March 1998, which isn't an insignificant achievement.
For a goalkeeper,
standing goalkeeper, for a young fella. He was very young at the time when he was in goal in that phase. But I just remember, my memory of him, and sometimes nostalgia plays tricks in your mind and all that, but that he felt a bit unbeatable at one stage and his reflexes were insane.
Yeah.
He was an excellent goalkeeper.
He was as well, and I think you look back at that goalkeeper union thing, the competition at the time is so fierce. You look at Jens Lehmann and the goalkeepers down to it, but then when you step away from it, I probably have a better relationship now with players I've played with down through the years, goalkeepers. I've been texting them now since I retired, that competition's gone. You realise they're in the same position as you.
Yeah.
Just want to play, that's it. But humans at the end of the day.
Did you have the backup goalkeeper under yourself at either Rovers or Pats or Bows, where like you needed them to warm you up to a high standard, but you felt that they weren't doing quite as much as they could because they wanted your position?
Not really, kind of, because the goalkeeping coach would call it out if there was any sort of
that
in it. Like, I was probably always in competition. Brendan Clark, Richard Bush at Rovers was kind of, I was kind of a little bit ahead of Bushy at the time. Was playing every week, so I kind of knew I was going to be playing him. Bushy was brilliant. Like, he was a madman as well, so he'd have a bit of crack on the pitch before it. Like, but no, I think you get called out, I think, if there's any sort of drop in performance before it.
I was just looking up there at that player of the month, Alex Maniger, March 98. So 6 clean sheets on the trot, wow. 3 in the month of March, and then player of the month. Only 9 goalkeepers have won Premier League player of the month in history. David Seaman, Tim Flowers, then Maniger. You had Paul Robinson, Petr Cech, Mark Schwarzer, Tim Krul, Fraser Forster and David De Gea. So not bad company, in fairness.
So is he the only backup goalkeeper to win?
Yeah, quite possibly out of that list.
Maybe Fraser Forster.
Maybe Forster.
Just shows you what they think of goalkeepers, though. There's been goalkeepers since. They've had months without conceding. Oh, yeah. Nobody's got a player of the year.
Why can't the goalkeeper win Ballon d'Or?
Exactly. Yashin won it.
Yeah,
I mean, that was it. Like,
it'll never happen, will it?
Like, what do you have to do to win it? Like, clean sheets, be unbelievable in the Champions League final.
Do you think that if Bayern win the Champions League, is there a possibility that they give it to them? Because Neuer didn't have a good second leg, that's the problem.
Harry Kane's more likely to get it.
I'd say you're right. Like, it could be Olise.
There's so many players there.
Suddenly people are saying Olise is the best winger in the world.
Like, Kane could go 2 games without scoring and he'll still win the award if he has 2 bad games. That's all you remember Neuer.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's just a higher bar.
I just said Wazzy into the ether. It was Dara speaking in my ear that Manuel Neuer got third in 2014 by
Anchorman.
But that's when they won they won the World Cup. Yeah, it is, though, because it could be really solid. I guess if you're a goalkeeper as part of a dominant winning side, I guess you're not called into action that much, but it's probably the crucial saves that you make to keep your side in it when it's tight. Like Petr Cech would do it, Peter Schmeichel did it. You know, weren't in trouble that much, but when they were called upon, they were excellent.
Look at like Ederson at Man City, how much he was involved in everything. The amount of goals he set up, big saves at the end. Obviously, they didn't win the Champions League when he was there, I think, at the time. Or maybe they did, actually.
They did, yeah.
Why isn't he involved?
He's kind of discarded now, isn't he? He's kind of dropped down a level because Pep wasn't having him anymore.
Yeah, but that Pep just does that. Yeah. He gets it in his head.
It's funny, Cluxton can win a Footballer of the Year, but I know they have the Golden Ball or the Golden Glove, don't they, in the World Cup? But they should have some version, a different, like a Ballon d'Or for goalkeepers. I don't know what you'd call it, but maybe there is an award out there.
That sounds like a sympathy thing. It was like, I'm going to give a goalkeeper something as well. This is a sports day.
Participation thing.
It's a sports day. I don't know what's going to happen. It's true. Like, because would you have a goalkeeper who's just making like phenomenal save after save?
But
you probably give it to the fella who's taking the shot then. Was like, oh, that's very creative.
Yeah,
shot.
But it's a two vote for it. It's the media and it's ex-managers and things. I don't think goalkeepers are appreciated.
You've got to influence this, Barry. This could be the call.
Even when it comes down to wages, they're not getting as much as everyone else.
Yeah. Is that true?
The big goalkeepers now probably are, but down through the years, so I wouldn't have been on as much as the strikers were, and that would have been as important, if not more. Like,
the gold bonus, like Owen Doyle is off now, and that's talking about the gold bonus,
clean sheet bonus,
the ball for penalties.
Yeah, had clean sheet bonuses, all right. And that year with Bowes, I think we did really well out of the clean sheet bonuses. And the year before with Rovers, there's only 13 goals we conceded all season, so you did well there. But the goal scoring bonuses are probably more than the clean sheet bonuses. Mm. And They're looked after more, the strikers, in terms of wages.
So tonight, 8 o'clock, Shamrock Rovers against Bohemians, the Barry Murphy derby, you could call it. I thought Bowes really, a few weeks ago, was like, this could be their year now. This could be it. And look, it's not over.
You were lulled in, mate.
Not over. I thought they had fixed their ills. But maybe they have. But it does feel inevitable, doesn't it, that it's going to be Stephen Bradley's side again, even though it is early days.
Yeah, I think for Bowes it's a chance to reset tonight. I think these derbies,
they have a good record in this game, of course. Really good record.
The record is mad. Like, I think
4 of the last 5 they've won in Tala.
Yeah, but overall, like, there's 86 derbies since 2004, 33 wins apiece, 20 draws.
Jeez.
It's incredible, like, isn't it? I played in 26 of them, 9 wins, 9 losses, 7 draws. Like, that's for whatever reason, it balances itself out. But tonight is a chance for them to reset Bowes. They've been really poor lately. They haven't scored goals, don't look like scoring goals. And Rovers have started to hit a little bit of form, playing a slightly different to the way they have. Jack Byrne's been much more influential, but again, said that these take on a life of their own, these games. So Bowes could go out and win 3-0 tonight.
Mm. Can we mention Gary O'Neill as well? Like, what an incredible story to recover from his testicular cancer diagnosis. And obviously, he's a while away, you'd imagine, from getting back on the pitch. But still an unbelievable story and spoke so well on it during the week, and Stephen Bradley as well.
Yeah, it's that's just him in a nutshell, though. He's unassuming on the pitch, goes about his business, gets things done, and people forget how influential he was in that Rovers team. Like, he scored a winning penalty in 2019,
yeah.
He kicked off this whole successful period, and the way he spoke about it, how he didn't want it to come out at the time, didn't want to take away from the team, didn't want all the attention on him, and that's just him in a nutshell. Had a close team around him and spoke to them, and he was influential again in the cup final, did a message for them, they were involving him in the cup final. So yeah, it's hopefully good to see him back on the pitch soon.
There's a good quote here from Adam Reynolds. Do you see this? I don't have much interest in how Rovers are doing, only that we enjoy playing them and going to Talla. I like that. Games. I like that little bit of bite. You know, it's good. Because, like, look, Bowes, I was saying about, like, they're kind of slipping up a bit, but it was only their first defeat last week, wasn't it?
It's huge. Like, they're in second spot. Like, they've only conceded a couple of goals of late. They've been solid at the back. As I said, the goal scoring thing is just an issue for them. But you go and win tonight or get a decent performance,
yeah,
they're back.
Yeah.
They're back on track, and I think you'd have taken that at the start of the season, definitely.
Yeah, it's so tight up there now. There's 11 games gone, but still, so Rovers top at 22 points, then Pats and Bowes both on 20 points. Yeah. Pats slightly better goal difference, plus two better. But who at the moment is impressing you more, Pats or Bowes?
They're both poor as each other lately.
Yeah.
Pats were so poor the other night, didn't lay a glove on Rovers. Rovers had three or four games, they could have gone up. I think took off Jack Byrne and Graham Burke with about half an hour to go. That showed kind of where they were mentally. They felt comfortable in the game. Stephen probably got it wrong on the night, playing Forrester too high up. He doesn't have the legs to chase down the way they wanted to press. Gaps were huge in the middle of the park. Jack Byrne strolling through, getting shots off. And they've been really good last season in terms of clean sheets. Patson was a great building, a starting block for them this season. But just when it came, it seems to happen every year. They do well in the games leading up to Rovers, get beaten by Rovers, and then they fall back again. And that seems to be the same with other teams as well.
I've often wondered this. Is Talla Stadium an intimidating venue as an opposition player to go to or not? Like Alan Reynolds saying, you know, we enjoy going to Talla Stadium. Like, I often thought the size of it maybe doesn't adhere itself to being that intimidating. Like, you know, it's not like a Dalymount or a Talca Park or...
Yeah, I don't think so. I think the Derby and Dalymount is way more intimidating for both sides. They've played on obviously both sides, and it's just, they're so tight on you. Same at Richmond Park, yet they're a chip throwing away from you. Like, they're so close to you. Talca Park the same. Talla's brilliant. It has so much going for it. But sometimes the atmosphere can be lost because it's so open as well. But tonight it'll be totally different.
Yeah.
You'll hear from both sides. It'll be brilliant. But just hoping for a good one.
Yeah. Where's the winning and losing of this game? Like, is this hard to call because of that mad record in all those derbies?
Yeah.
Like, so you've Douglas James Taylor back for Bowes, Dale Rooney. Then the re-emergence of Jack Byrne, I thought he was going to be finished under Stephen Bradley. So there are obviously match winners on both these sides, but there's also informed players away from the collective team underperforming.
Yeah, there is. But like, you look back to that Dalymount game, that they were 3-0 up with 5 minutes into injury time. Like, you talk about, oh, they had more desire on the night. Bowes outplayed Rovers on the night. They were brilliant. Some of their goals were excellent. And in those derbies of late, that it's been about battling and getting over the line. It was a totally different performance from Bowes on the night. Can they reproduce that tonight in Talla? They did last year with the 3-2 win. I think the middle of the park is the big one tonight. Who gets a hold of it? They're going to press the hell out of Shamrock Rovers tonight from the off. That's the way they've done it the last couple of games. Rovers have struggled with that. Will Rovers do something different? Go a little bit longer earlier on, try and spread the game, kind of settle into it more. So it's the middle of the park, the Voys, Tierney, Jack Byrne, Graham Burke. That's that kind of central box is where it's going to be one loss, I think.
Who's going to stop Rovers?
I don't see anyone at the moment. I think everyone will beat each other below them, and then Rovers never beat them. That's the thing. They're so good at home that they dispatch of teams where, like, the likes of a Galway, Waterford, Sligo, they come to Talla, Rovers beat them. It doesn't happen with the other four teams.
So even if Bowes do another job of them tonight and they do go top of the league, or depending on what happens with Pats, but say they're a point ahead of Rovers anyway, you think ultimately that really won't make a difference, that Rovers will collect the points elsewhere, and you don't trust Bowes to maintain any sort of
that's
form?
That's exactly it. I don't trust the Pats, Bowes, kind of Derry to go away, get the results they need to maintain the pressure on Rovers, and Rovers need pressure on them. I think somebody needs to go ahead of them and see how they are chasing. The one time that's really happened with Shells, and they came up short for it. But I just think Pats are probably set up the most to go and put a title challenge in. I think when you get their best 11 on the pitch, the Ramal Parmas, Evanson scoring goals, Elbazetti back in the pitch. I think they're the best 11 to challenge Shamrock Rovers, and I think they're the ones that can go toe to toe if they get that bit of form.
At 8 o'clock tonight, Shamrock Rovers against Bohemians. Live commentary on News Talk with Jonathan Higgins and Vinnie Perth. You mentioned Derry there, 7 without a win, haven't won since the end of February. They're away to Shells, who themselves have been fairly uninspiring so far this season. With Derry, like, Tiernan Lynch seems to be under a bit of pressure. And, well, we'll get to James McLean in a second, because I do want to talk about him. But is Lynch kind of justifiably in trouble?
Massively so. They've spent a huge amount of money.
And they pay quite well, don't they?
I don't think the chairman's helped them, though, to start the season, saying we want to win the league this year and back it up again next year. And everything about the whole start of the season was an auditorium, having the fans in, a couple of hundred of them in, and setting out the goals for the season. It just lent itself to a failure. Obviously, the James McLean situation hasn't worked out for him, but I think James is probably hasn't done himself any favours, because he looks like he's playing with an injury. He looks like he's not up to full scratch, and he wants to play every game because he wants to come back and be that man who's the difference to get them over the line. And in that, he's not let himself down, because he's playing, but he's not playing up to his standards, and the team haven't either. But
there's James McLean is an occasional contributor on this show, so I'm loath to say this, and I'll be happy to have it out with James about it. But do you get a sense that you can see the end in the short to medium term future here, that this mightn't work out? And I say that because James McLean seems very frustrated by the League of Ireland. He had that post recently about the facilities, which actually is kind of really needed in some ways, someone who's used to better facilities coming back and saying we really need to improve. I wonder, does he get frustrated with this league?
He's preaching to the choir there. Like, it's been the same for the last 20 years, and it does going to need somebody like him to highlight, because you look at the politicians around it and they listen to people like him. And that sort of stuff highlights it. But the stuff has got better off the pitch in terms of training pitches, quality of coaches, players in the league has got better. But I think the frustration with him is in himself, is in the start to the season.
You think
that
so?
You've had, I think so. Like, the sending off last week, he kind of went back to fight the referee and it's like, oh, I'm not even arsed going back to fight him. Like, it just seems like there's something holding him back there. There's an injury, just something slightly holding him back there in his form and suffered because of it.
Talk to us about Dundalk, because it's been really good. Jeez, it's long ago, lads, the future of Dundalk as a football club is in question. And I looked at it, we'll see what happens the rest of the season, but right now it's going incredibly well for Kieran Kilduff.
Yeah, they've been brilliant. And you look at the players he brought in, you're thinking, oh, these have kind of a couple of journeymen in there that haven't succeeded at other clubs, and are they going to struggle? He went for kind of experience with some of those players, but they've been brilliant. Like, they've had some great results. That result last week, you're looking at a draw against Derry and you're thinking, that's not a great result for them. That's how far they've come.
Yeah.
Got big results, got a good result in Tala as well. So they're doing it away from home. I think they've only been beaten once this season, which is absolutely incredible. But they have that, kind of mentioned before, they have that kind of Stephen Kenny mentality in the 2010s, where you're getting these players that weren't loved at other clubs, bringing them in together and giving them a real purpose. And it's done so well, as Killer was in that squad as well, that 2010s kind of squad. So yeah, doing really well.
4 wins and 3 draws in the last 7 games for Dundalk. Like, Derry, you're so jealous of them. And for Galway side of things too, I thought the life was getting sucked out of the John Caulfield reign, like, but it's consecutive wins.
So I just didn't see him here this season. I just, by all accounts, he was going upstairs, and that was kind of the way he was going to go about it. And then when he did come and I saw the signs, I fell for him. I thought, this is going to be a struggle all year, but they've been brilliant. And his experience as well is invaluable at that team to get them where they are. 2 wins on the bounce, I think, now, and pull themselves right up, and they're looking at the European places now, which you could easily pull back into that as well, the way how tight things this league is.
What about Drogheda? So they play Pats.
Yeah, I think they've overperformed the last couple of seasons, and I think Kevin was always one to talk about it, to say, listen, you got to dampen down expectations. Our budget is nowhere near what everyone else is. People are talking to him about European places every year, and obviously they got it taken away from them. I think they probably are where they are at the moment. That's probably where they should be in terms of budget-wise, and they need a result tonight, and it's a Pats team going up there who are struggling for form as well, so it's a big one for both sides. And just to kind of stave off that kind of last couple of games, I think they need a big result tonight.
It feels a bit flat with Shells. Don't know why.
Yeah, won't help now tonight with the Duffer back on TV screens as well. A lot of pressure coming on. I think there's obviously
That'll be be difficult for Duff to analyse. Well, it's his body, his manager, you know.
Yeah, that's it, and it's funny that relationship as well. And apparently, they're still very close and talk a lot. Which is odd. Like we were kind of saying during the week, so nearly talking to your ex all the time about your new girlfriend, isn't it? Like, how do I perform better here? That's kind of what it is. Mm. But listen. Shells have so many players. Paddy Barrett's back tonight.
That's going to be huge, isn't it?
Because he nearly plays in that quarterback role. He sets up balls, the big kind of swing out. He's an excellent passer of the ball. Defensively, being really poor. I think they've only had 2 clean sheets this season. Spiel hasn't been good of late in goal and conceded a lot of goals. But again, another one who needs a result tonight.
Shell, they're just so in the middle. Like they're sixth, right? Their league form is a formation, 3-4-3 for WDL. And then their goal difference is 0 because they've scored and conceded 15.
Yeah.
It's just, you can't wait for that spark. Cause I look good in the early Joey O'Brien full-time era. It was like they can actually push on. They're actually playing better football than they did at the end of Damien Duff. But I don't know that they need another source of energy. Is it a reactionary club that they need something to fight against?
Yeah, they kind of do. Well, that was all the siege mentality under Duffer. It was us against the world, wasn't it? But like Joey's got a brilliant selection of players there, and that Jamestown model has brought in a certain type of player now. And just they haven't hit the ground running. They've been good 1 week, poor the next week. Can't find any sort of consistency to their form, and they need a result tonight. Like a draw nearly doesn't do either team tonight. Mm-hmm. I think somebody needs to go out and lay down a mark and win.
There's the basement battle then tomorrow night, 7:45, Sligo Rovers against Waterford. So Sligo in ninth place with 8 points, Waterford just 4 points in bottom. Who's winning this?
Sligo, I think. I think they can get a result when they need it. They did against Bowes the other night. And listen, Bowes were out without Dawson Devoy. I think Dawson took a yellow card against Waterford, thinking I can miss this game and be sure to play against Rovers in the derby. And it backfired on that night. And Sligo, I've done this down through the years. He started off really poorly and come into the summer and have been excellent in the kind of summer periods. But I just think at home in the showgrounds when the pressure's on, I think Sligo will get the job done.
Would you like to see Alan Reynolds mentioned Dawson Devoy this week about potential international call-up and how he'd love to see it? I'm just looking at how depressing it is to look at the Republic of Ireland fixtures that we have to come up, like the game in Murcia against Granada, another friendly 12 days later against Qatar and the Aviva. But like those types of games are perfect for the likes of Dawson Devoy on paper. I mean, it would be great to see him involved. Do you think he's at that level? He's ready?
I think he is, especially for that camp, kind of May camp. I think like it's all about experimenting now. I think we need to look forward and to try and come up with solutions for the next time an Ogbeni can't last for 90 minutes. How do we fill that role? We don't do it at the moment. It's just, he speaks about consistency. It's consistency every time we play. And it just consistency didn't get us qualified. We now need to have options. You need to have, if people look at a Dawson Devoy and say he's playing League of Ireland, yeah, but he's playing unbelievably well in a position that nobody's doing that for Ireland. You look at Matt Healy as well, could fill a role. Graham Burke, I think the goalkeeping situation, I want to see Josh Keighley playing in that, but I'd like to see an Evan McGinty in there playing. Like, just, we're so solid and stacked in the goalkeeper position, but you've got to try these players and just bring players in from the wilderness that deserve a chance, I think.
It's a phenomenal weekend of Premier League action on paper, right? So tomorrow, 3:00, Leeds against Wolves. That's going to be big. Then you got the Roberto De Zerbi derby, 5:30, Spurs against Brighton. Then you got Stamford Bridge tomorrow, 8:00, tomorrow night, Chelsea against Manchester United. You got the Merseyside derby on Sunday at 2:00. And then you got Manchester City against Arsenal at 4:30. Jesus. Let's go through predictions for all of those games with you. Leeds, Wolves.
I think Leeds will get it done.
Leeds done,
Hit a bit of form.
Spurs, Brighton.
I just fancy Spurs to get it.
Do you think they'll stay up?
I think in the end they will. There's something about it. I think they'll finally find some form to get over the line.
We had the football journalist broadcaster Dan Mardell on yesterday, and he was who's the third team to go on the assumption that it's going to be Wolves, Burnley, or someone else, and he was like Spurs.
They just look the least likely to win enough games.
They have a one in 2026.
Yeah,
in the Premier League.
I just think they'll find form at some stage. You can't go a whole season like that. There has to be a purple patch somewhere.
I think West Ham will go.
Do you think?
I did think it was going to be Leeds, but I think West Ham, I think Spurs will stay.
That win last week was big for Leeds, wasn't it?
West Ham got a big win last week too.
I know. I just think that it's not over. Like, there's a few games going. Zerbi hasn't got going yet.
You'd love to see what he is going to do, what he's going to bring different. He can't put his style of play on it.
No,
it's just not enough time.
No. And he took a while to get going at Brighton too. Chelsea Man United?
Draw
would be good for United, that would maintain the 7-point cushion.
Score draw.
Scores right, yeah, I'll go 1-1.
Is the Chelsea goalkeeper as dodgy as everyone says?
Yeah. Yeah, bottom line. Yeah, he's nowhere near it. Like, he can't go 4 or 5 games without a mistake at that level. It's just not good enough. No.
Can I ask you about the Lisandro Martinez red card? I know he's suspended. Harry Maguire's obviously suspended for this game tomorrow night. Like, the hair pull, Michael Carrick fuming, saying it's one of the most shocking decisions he's ever seen. But what was your take on it? Like, is it a game's gone kind of thing, or is it fair enough? I know in the rules you can't pull hair, but
it's a letter of the law thing.
Yeah.
There's no room for a referee's interpretation of it now, because if that goes to VAR, which if you had a look at it, it's a hair pull, it's called a hair pull. But like, Katie McCabe got one a couple of weeks before.
Nothing happened.
Yeah, but like, he's not even looking at him. He's going to grab his jersey and get a hold of him and go over and win a header. Like, it's just ridiculous the way it is. Like, it's not a red card for me. No one cares.
Mersey Derby.
See everything getting something from that.
Could you? That's at the Hill Dickinson. The first ever.
Don't see them losing anyway. I think it could be a draw on that, but I don't see Liverpool winning that. I just don't think they have enough about them at the moment to go and win it.
I see Everton winning that game.
Yeah. They're trying to create their version of the yellow wall in the Hill Dickinson. It hasn't really worked.
Tired, like, yet. It's new, isn't it?
Yeah, it's tough. New. It's tough.
But it's like that Tallaght Stadium thing. You're taking them away from Goodison. Like, and you're losing that kind of old school on top of them.
You call it to West Ham supporters. We had Danny Dyer in your very chair before, and he misses Upton Park big time. Upton Park. Huge.
The bowling ground.
Man City against Arsenal. The big one. Keith Tracy's not confident.
Oh, the league's over, according to Keith.
He's 6 points clear.
You can see him get more depressed as the days go on.
I think Arsenal will get something out. I just think they've enough now. Like,
have you gone for all draws?
No, yeah, I think so. Defensive American.
Said Leeds to win.
I don't see Arsenal losing this. Just, I think it's been totally different the way they've done things this week leading up to the Bournemouth game last week. I thought the whole momentum and marketing of the game was terrible. I think Arteta was out doing press conferences. Odegaard was posting messages on Instagram about bringing the noise, and I just thought it was really poor. I thought they thought last week, we get this game over the line, then we can go into that city with a free win, and this was the big one. And once that went against them, obviously they dropped back, but I think they'll have enough about them to get it done. And obviously you look at the way City are playing at the moment. They're so free in the way they're playing. He's totally changed the way he does things. Cherky's allowed a free roll. He can do what he wants. He seems free in himself, Guardiola, and Arteta seems the other way around. But I just think they'll have enough to get over the line.
Plenty of comments coming in about the goalkeeper, lack of love from the world stage. Dermot Keenan saying Buffon should have won the Ballon d'Or.
100%.
All in the game saying Courtois should have won the Ballon d'Or.
That year, that was the last year, he was unbelievable. Yeah. The one against Liverpool, the saves he's making against Liverpool in the quarterfinals, semi-finals. He was unbelievable that year. Yeah, he's probably right up there.
Neuer always has a couple of howlers in him every season.
Every goalkeeper does. There's no goalkeepers going through a season. And when they are howlers from goalkeepers.
Yeah.
Such a pivotal position.
Always rated Courtois over Neuer and Donnarumma.
Yeah. No. I think... I don't... Donnarumma is massively up there for me.
Isn't there?
No, he's not. I think he's totally hyped up. Like, I think because he's so young coming into the squads he's been in.
Yeah.
I think you look at Enrique, got rid of him straight away as soon as he came in. He had that Guardiola, Joe Hart effect. Didn't see him in the squad. I think
he had him for the first season, didn't he?
Yeah, but he didn't. Didn't fancy him.
I know, but they won everything.
Yeah.
I know it was. He was cutthroat with him, wasn't he?
You're a Champions League winner and he gets rid of you. There's something not right there.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Guardiola saw what was needed at Man City and the way the league was going at the stage. He was good across, makes big saves, didn't need him to play out from the back. Just didn't do it for Enrique.
Final question from a contributor here. Should goalkeepers be allowed to make separate substitutions? Away from the three?
No. Like, we're talking about keeping goalkeepers away and giving them different awards. That just totally emphasises it. No, unless it's I think a goalkeeper injury should be different. I think if a goalkeeper gets down injured, they should be allowed to bring on it. But not just because he's poor.
Barry Burr.
I mean, an awful lot of times, I think that was the case.
A pleasure.
Yeah,
thanks a million.
Cheers, Barry.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50 mg film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.